Alright, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Who Knows What? I don't know. I've stopped tracking numbers. We're doing some more grim scenarios, and either last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't actually know at this point, I was away and Navian subbed in for me, and we thought it was only fair that I got to kick Milk out for a week and have Navian sub in for him too. So
that's right. It's episode Honk 2, Goose Boogaloo.
Exactly. So no Milk this week?
When Emma left, she put out the no goose sign so that I would waddle in, kick them down, and harass Milk. And Milk has decided to do the same to you.
Exactly. It's perfect. The no goose sign is here. That means Navian has come in, destroyed it, and we've replaced it with a no dairy products sign.
Excellent.
All right. Well, this week we have a special thing we're doing, which is we're talking about the newest character release, which is the... This isn't actually a relatively easy word to say, but for some reason I refuse to believe that whenever I try to say it. The Yagababble. It's phonetic. It's straightforward.
I have heard a lot of people struggle with it, and one of the things that it can get called, sort of jokingly, is Baba Yaga. And I can tell you, if you can say Baba Yaga, you can say Yagababble, because it's just the Yaga at the end and an actual word in the English language, babble.
I know.
Just mash those together.
It's wild. It's, like, literally easy to say, yet I still want to call it the Yagababble every time.
Yes, lots of people do.
And the Yaga Babble is different from other demons in that it,
True.
Well, it's just very weird. That was my first thought when I saw it, was that it's very weird. It kills by speaking publicly, and they can kill at whatever speed it wants, kind of, but also the storyteller has to agree with the speed the Yaga Babble wants to kill.
For me, the weird thing about it was that it can also kill during the day.
Yes. The day killing is super interesting. The storyteller guide that TPI sort of put out for the Yagababble said, do this rarely. So naturally, I've seen it all the time in Yagababble games.
Of course.
it's sort of the inverse of the Harpy, which the Harpy can kill at day or night, but almost always kills during the day. And no one said you should probably kill during the day and rarely kill at night. So no one actually does Harpy night kills. But with the Yagababble, everyone is super fascinated with making it mimic Harpy deaths, Tinker deaths, Witch deaths. I even tried making it mimic a Slayer shot once.
That's fun.
So it can do weird things. Nathan, what are your Yagababble thoughts?
I think that it's really fun. I think that it can induce a sort of, like, paranoia around town. And as long as you're playing with a pretty chill group who's not going to try to, like, do something that I call optimizing the fun out of the game by trying to control other people, then I think it's a really, really fun demon.
Yeah. This is something of a strategy podcast, something of a comedy podcast, something of a who knows what podcast, but here's one strategy for the Yagababble I don't endorse, which is waking up on Final Four, saying it's probably a Yagababble game, and then refusing to speak and yelling at anyone else who does try to speak to prevent the Yagababble from getting kills. Technically, probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Really not fun.
Yeah, I would generally discourage people from playing that way. Like, if you and your group find it fun to optimize, quote-unquote, in that way, then, like, by all means, I can't dictate for other people what they find fun. But most people are not going to find that particularly fun or interesting. And that's actually part of why in the Yagababble's guide is for when you're the storyteller, if possible, do not kill down to four. Try to always bring it to a final three. You don't always have 100% control over that, you know?
Yeah.
But you should be trying to not get it to a four.
Yeah, like, which is weird for us because we don't normally think of the storyteller's job as to manipulate away common game situations, but you really just don't want to encourage players generally to create that situation where anyone who says something other than "I nominate X, I think they're the demon" on 4 is going to be sussed out for daring to speak.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. So normally when the game stalls and you have, like, say, for example, 4 players alive, but town refuses to execute, but also the demon refuses to kill, then you usually pull out a fable called the Fiddler, and that brings it down to a 50-50. The demon chooses a player of the opposing team, and town votes on who wins. I, in a situation where it's a Yaga Babble game, and town has, like, pretty well determined that they think it's a Yaga Babble game, and it actually is, I might actually just not bring out the Fiddler and just be like, no, we're just going to sit here forever until town finally just executes on 4. They pick who they think the demon is, because I don't think that's fun or fair to force a Fiddler when the demon is being socially pressured to not be able to do anything, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. Like, you can't let the game stop being fun by putting rules around talking.
Yeah. But, you know, again, as long as you have a storyteller who's doing their best to try to make sure that that situation's not happening, and even if it does happen, if you're playing with a group that's chill enough to just kind of, like, let the day play out normally, let that one kill happen in the night and play a final 3 like normal, I think it's really fun and pretty interesting.
It's super fun, and, like, I've found, like, the attempt to figure out what the Yaga Babble phrase is during the game to be both a fool's errand and really enjoyable, which is the best sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
I love the creativity of it as well. Not just the creativity on the storyteller's part of coming up with a phrase, but the creativity on the Yaga Babble's part of how to slip that phrase into the talk that they're having without it just being, like, super obvious.
Yeah. No, when we were doing the release game on TPI, I thought the evil team had some really super interesting, like, ways to sort of, they sort of tag teamed getting the phrase said repeatedly, which was, I thought, super fun. Like, it just made it seem like a natural part of conversation, which was really super interesting. But enough of these general thoughts, I think. Let's get to the Yaga Babbing.
All right.
We're letting Navian be evil again, which means I get to be good. And this isn't because I don't have developed Yaga Babble thoughts yet on how to play it, though
definitely
that's
not
true. So
it's definitely because I am, in fact, very naturally an evil goose.
Yeah, that is why. That was the sole part of our conversation, and not me going, I haven't really been able to think of how I think Yaga Babble strategy is different from any other demon strategy yet. That was definitely not it.
Definitely not. Nope.
All right. So with that, let's go to the Grim and learn about how I fight the Yaga Babble, I suppose.
All right. So you are in seat 10, as everybody can see. And on night 1, you receive your token of the Farmer.
Ooh. Interesting.
So, before we actually get into the game, I kind of want to know, like, what are your thoughts when you have a role like a farmer and you're on a Yaga Babble script, which means that the storyteller might be choosing the kills? How would you go about maybe trying to convince the storyteller to kill you? Or when you die, what do you think that might tell you about the game?
Yeah, so when the storyteller is directing kills with townsfolk that want to die, or the townsfolk's sort of goal in that has to shift, whereas, like, with a farmer in a game pre-Yaga Babble release, or not pre, just Yaga Babble, because there was stuff like Legion and Little Monster, I think you had a lot more fluidity to try things like make sure you get killed in the end game, hide that you're the farmer, and if the evil team slips up and kills you late, the farmer pass is really powerful because it can solve final three, similar to how a Raven Keeper who gets killed with four alive can solve the game. But when the storyteller is directing kills for evil, it's unlikely they're going to kill you to solve the game for the good team in the late game. So you don't really sort of have that surprise bitches on the farmer strategy available to you anymore, because the storyteller is just not going to kill you in that situation. So what you instead sort of have to do when you think the storyteller might be directing kills is you sort of have to bully the storyteller, for lack of a better word, into having no choice but to killing you by making yourself so trusted that Town will never execute you. That's at least my general thought with the farmer when the storyteller is controlling the kills. So
I think that's, yeah, pretty good thought. I think what comes to my mind as well is, so the directive for the Yagababble, if you have read the guide, is that you as a storyteller should generally be killing who you think the evil team would want you to kill. And I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is that, yes, you as the storyteller have the entire grim, and that is going to bias you in your choices. Sometimes you might want to think of this game as kind of like, what does the evil team know? What has this player been bluffing to the evil team? Is that somebody that the evil team would target if they had that agency? So I think sometimes, you know, just bluffing is a really powerful role, which is your usual sort of first line gambit as something like a farmer. You know, maybe that'll work on the storyteller too.
I personally feel from storytelling that I think that would be more successful for a Ravenkeeper who wanted to die, just because the Ravenkeeper's damage is more limited, whereas once the farmer chain happens, especially if it's early, it can just get out of control for the evil team. So I think
that's
as a farmer
fair, yeah.
on the Yagababble script, my incentive would be to do something very unnatural for me, which would be to be honest and try to build as much trust as quickly as possible so that it becomes clear the town just isn't going to kill me, and the storyteller sort of feels, well, this is a situation where the evil team is probably going to think they have to kill her. Now, there is a poisoner in the script which messes that up, because, like, if it's too obvious I'm the farmer, the poisoner can just sit there and poison lock me and wait for the storyteller to kill me at their leisure, which, if the poisoner's doing that, there's a good chance the storyteller will just kill me quickly. So there's
yeah,
a lot of thought
absolutely.
That goes on here. And you do want to try to balance things. It's tough. Farmer is one of the tougher roles to play. It's one of the roles
it
that...
It definitely can be.
Yeah, like... And a lot of times with farmer, you find it on scripts with stuff like spy or poisoner, where the evil team can pretty efficiently intercept the straw pass, just because the farmer is so powerful.
Definitely makes sense. All right, well, let's go ahead and get the day started. Obviously, you're the farmer, so nothing really interesting happens to you at night on this first night. So now it's day one. Who would you like to speak with?
Let's talk to seat five.
All right, seat five says, "Hey, Emma, how are you doing?"
Good, seat five. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What would you like to do for the game?
You wouldn't happen to be the night watchman, would you?
No. Why?
I had an idea that involved the night watchman willing to get involved in a very stupid lie with me. So if you're not the night watchman, though, it's probably not worth my time to explain further.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm definitely not the Night Watchman.
All right, that's a bummer. I'll just tell you I'm the farmer. If you're the poisoner, well, rough for me, but I do want to tell someone quickly. I'll tell you what my scheme was going to be. I was going to try to find the Night Watchman, convince them not to use their ability, and instead just insist that I had sent them the Night Watchman ping, so that I would seem super trusted, and then the evil team would kill me, and or the storyteller would kill me if it's a Yakababble game.
That's really funny. I'll keep an ear out and send one your way if I hear of them. But I'm just the chef with a zero.
Oh, chef with a zero. Interesting. Okay. Well, I hope I die in the night and you become the farmer and we can trust your chef information.
That would be fantastic.
Seems unlikely.
Good luck dying, Emma.
All right.
So you head back to town. Who else would you like to talk to today?
Let's talk to seat two.
Seat two. Hey, Emma, how's it going?
Good. How are you, seat two?
I am doing good. What would you like to do for the game?
I'm the chef with a zero.
Okay. Well, I'm one of the village idiots.
Ooh, fun. Could you check
me? I have already heard of one other village idiot.
Could you check me tonight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. And sorry, I forget who I just said I'm talking to. So you're seat three, right?
No, seat two.
It's tough remembering people's names, seat two. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I understand.
Did you check last night?
I checked seat seven.
Ooh, interesting. Should we kill them?
I think we should, but I could be the drunk one, so I'm not sure.
Okay, interesting. All right. Thank you, seat two.
Thank you, Emma. All right, let's go ahead and give you one more. Actually, you know what? I'm going to tell you that seat 11 decides to ping you.
All right. Hey, seat 11, what's up?
Hey, I heard on the grapevine that you might have been looking for a night watchman.
Absolutely, I was.
Well, I either am the night watchman or I received the night watchman ping.
Okay. Do you want to be involved in a scheme?
What's the scheme? I might be involved in the scheme. What is...
All right, here's the scheme. The scheme is that if you receive the Night Watchman ping, you just change your mind and say that I'm the Night Watchman who sent you the ping. And if you are the Night Watchman, you send it to me and then claim you got a Night Watchman ping from me.
Okay. I'm totally down for this. The Night Watchman and or person that I sent to is my other neighbor. So I'm just going to send them a message during the day when we get back to town and let them know about the plan.
Yes.
So is that okay?
That's fine. So definitely not. So I'm the farmer. And what I'm trying to do is be so clearly mechanically trusted that I have to die.
Okay.
So... You may have brought too many people into this scheme already, but if we haven't, if by happenstance you, seat 12, seat 5, and me are all good, we'll have a perfect little secret plan that the evil team won't know anything about.
Okay. Perfect. Let's go ahead and go back to town. This will work out.
Yeah, there's no flaws with this plan whatsoever.
Absolutely not. Okay, so we are all back in town. Town is talking about various things. Nominations are opening up. Is there anybody that you would like to nominate today?
So the sad thing is it's highly likely that at least one of me, seat 11 and seat 12, is evil just because of a chef zero. And that's just because when the chef number is a zero and you're good, it's more likely one of your neighbors is evil, and you and your neighbors are both good, it's even more likely one of their neighbors or your other neighbors is evil. So this is sad. But I'm sure there's nothing wrong. We could push on the village idiot information, but it's not much to go on. I'm willing to let other people have the nomination forefront today.
Yep, that makes sense. And in that instance, seat two is in fact going to nominate seat seven. And they're going to say, this player is in a double claim and there's other information pointing to them possibly being evil. And seat seven's defense is, I'm a good player. I don't think you should kill me. If I'm in a double claim, then we should kill into the other half of that. All right. Is this something that you think you are wanting to vote on?
So there's Pixie and Mugent on this script. There's a Hatter who may or may not want to hide. And there's a Harpy, which could be affecting C2's actions here. There's a lot of reasons not to push on either double claims or a Knight 1 Village Idiot attack. So I think my inclination is to keep my hand down here and see how people vote.
All right. Well, seat 9 decides to vote on that. Seat 11 decides to vote on that. Seats 1 and 2 both vote on that, as does seat 4 and seat 5. And I definitely did not lose count of who I just said had their hands up.
9, 11, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Which is 6.
Right, which is 6, yes. Okay. and that is enough to put seat 7 on the block.
Interesting.
So seat 5 decides to nominate seat 9, and the accusation is there's a fortune teller, yes, on this player.
Interesting.
Seat 9 says, well, I'm either a red herring, or the other player is, or there's a demon in the other player, because it's not me. I think that you should leave me alive and force the demon to kill me in the night.
Yeah, I'll vote on this.
Okay. You vote on this, as does seat 12 and seat 1. Seats 4 and 5 vote on it, but nobody else does.
Yeah. And sort of my thought process there is, like I was saying with the chef, it's more likely that at least one of my neighbors is evil because of the chef 0. And with both of them voting on seat 7, I'm more inclined to think seat 7 is either a pixie, a mutant, or has fallen victim to a drunk village idiot or a harpy.
I think that's some good logic.
I'm kind of tentatively willing to believe this fortune teller, yes, on seat 9. Because I want to believe that seat 11 is good because of the scheme.
All right, well, seat 6 nominates seat 4 and says, well, if we're not going to kill one of the fortune teller pings, I have heard that this is where the other one is. So just offering this up to town. Seat 4 says, I think I might be interested in maybe killing the fortune teller. Is this something that you would put your hand up for?
Yeah, I'd vote on seat 4.
Okay. Well, seat 5 decides to vote on seat 4, as does seat 6 and seat 7. You are also voting on it, but nobody else does.
Yeah, I don't think seat 7 is escaping this.
It does seem quite unlikely, but seat 3 is going to nominate seat 11 anyway and say, I don't know, I talked with this player early and I kind of got a little bit of a sketchy vibe. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I just want to see what seat 11 says. Seat 11 decides to say, I am confirmed good, or confirming another player as good, so that I think that that makes me good.
Not the best logic, but, you know, I can't betray others. I can't betray seat 11 already with the scheme, so we're going to have to pass and vote it on seat 11.
That makes perfect sense. So seat 12 votes on it, seat 3 votes on it, seat 4 votes on it, seat 7 votes on it, but that is all. That is all for the nominations, which means that seat 7 is executed and dies. And of course, everybody goes to sleep.
Interesting.
Once again, you are the farmer, so there's not a whole lot that you should expect to your own ability to happen in the night.
No.
You might still get visited if there is a harpy, for example, but there's not a whole lot on the script that could happen to you.
And frankly, if I'm the farmer who's visited by the harpy, my tentative goal is going to be to break harpy madness as soon as the next day ends, in that sort of nighttime space where you can still be harpy killed before the harpy acts again. I doubt the storyteller is going to let me cheese it like that, but I will make my best effort.
You know, sometimes you just gotta try, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you do wake up, and when you wake up, you find that nobody's died in the night.
Interesting. Not super surprising, as it didn't sound like anything Yagababli had said. But there's other explanations. Okay, well, there could be a poe charge, there could be gossips or innkeepers.
It could be. Seat 6 decides to ping you.
Okay. Hey, what's up, Seat 6?
Hey, Emma. I'm the fortune teller. I got a no on you last night.
Perfect. That's so many ways I'm confirmed good.
Sure. I mean, you could be a minion. Maybe you're even a poisoner, and I've just screwed myself by telling you this. But we'll go with it.
The poisoner can't send people night watchman pinks.
Oh, you're the night watchman. Okay, I had heard there might have been a night watchman ping going around, but nobody mentioned who.
Oh yeah, I'm the night watchman. Someone got my ping confirmed good.
Okay, great. Well, seat 9 and 4 are my fortune teller pings, and I checked you and 5 and got a no.
Me and 5. Oh, that's good. I wanted to trust seat 5 for reasons.
Yeah, I have seat 5's claim. That makes sense.
Okay. That'd kill seat 9.
So, I mean, I still want to kill into either 9 or 4.
I would be happy to kill either of them. Probably 9. I voted on both of them yesterday.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to go and try to convince more people to kill into them. Thanks, Emma.
Yep.
Okay. And who else would you like to talk to for today?
I'd like to talk to seat 7.
Seat 7. All right. Hey, Emma, how's it going?
How's it going? Sorry you're dead. I wasn't involved.
No, it's fine. It's all right. I was just the pixie.
That's what I thought. You had a good chance. What were you the pixie of?
Cannibal.
Oh, that's a sad one. Well, it's a fun one for the cannibal to eat.
Yeah, hopefully they saw something interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Have you talked to them yet?
Not yet, no. Cool. I talked to them yesterday, but I haven't gotten to talk to them today.
Yeah, I thought C2 felt maybe a little harpy mad at you, but I haven't followed up with them to see if they're claiming harpy madness.
Possibly, I guess. I don't know. I heard there were village idiot pings going around, so I figured maybe the drunk one picked me or something.
Yeah, that's possible. But it's also, that's just like, if you're harpy mad day one on a script like this, I think if they're not your neighbor, like, village idiot evil is the way to go, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks, Emma. I'm gonna go try to talk to my my cannibal and see what happened.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right. So when you head back to town, you notice that seat 7 goes to talk to seat 1.
Just mark them down as the cannibal for now, and hope they are not an evil team working on a cannibal bluff.
That's true. They could be. So let's give you one more conversation for today.
Let's talk to Zeke. Let's try to figure out what's up with this person. I think is probably evil.
Sure. Hey, Emma, how's it going?
How's it going?
I might be the reason that there were no deaths last night.
That you claim to be the innkeeper?
Yeah.
Oh. A bluff for demons who don't want to kill every night. Interesting.
No, not a demon. I've heard the fortune teller, yes, on me, but... Wait, is there a pukka on this script?
There's no pukka, so you're not definitely the demon. But posing Gagababbles also like innkeeper bluffs.
There's no pukka, so it can't be me.
Well, I'm the night watchman. I'm confirmed good.
Okay, well, that's good. So, can I just protect you then, since you're not going to be doing anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Just protect me.
Okay, cool. I already talked with the people that I protected last night, so they know that they could be drunk, but I think it's okay.
Yeah. Okay. If you were a Yagababble, what would your phrase be?
What'll you be having?
Oh, that's a good one. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I might be the innkeeper, but, like, you know, I'm also the barkeep and the server.
Very reasonable. All right. Perfect.
All right. Thanks, Emma. All right. So you head back to town, and C3 decides to announce, hey, everybody, I'm just going to come out with this. I'm the fisherman, and I used my ability today, and my advice was, town should think carefully about whether it's a village or not.
Yeah, I was running out of space for there to be village idiots.
Yeah, so I've heard of two of them, and I'm not sure if my information is saying that they're both evil, or maybe there's only just the one.
Interesting. Huh. Interesting. Well, thank you, Seed3. Thank you for sharing this information.
Yeah, and with that, Seed3 is going to go ahead and nominate Seed2. And their accusation is, well, you know, my information is kind of pointing at maybe the village idiots being a bit questionable. So I think maybe we should kill into this. And Seat 2, their defense is, yeah, I think this is fine. I mean, obviously, I am a village idiot and I'm good, but I think that I might be the drunk one. I'm not 100% sure. But if town isn't sure, or if I am the drunk one, I'm not helping town, so we can go ahead and kill this if we want. So is this a hand raise for you?
Don't like neighbor on neighbor violence in the chef's ear, okay? It's very hard to parse. I'm going to keep my hand down until Seat 9 votes and they don't decide whether to raise it.
Okay, so Seat 3 is going to vote on this, as is Seat 4. Seats 5 and 6 keep their hand down. Seat 9 decides to vote on it.
Yeah, I'm not going to vote on this.
Okay. You don't vote, neither does 11 or 12, but seat 1 also decides to vote, but that is not enough to get seat 2 on the block. Seat 11 decides to nominate seat 9. And seat 11 says, you know, there are some confirmed good players going around town, and there's some people that I trust. So I think that we should kill maybe into these fortune teller things, or if not that, then the fortune teller themselves. Seat 9 says, I think that I'm one of those confirmed good players because I think that I probably caused the no death last night. Will you be voting? You're first to vote.
Yeah.
Okay, so you vote, seat 11 votes, seat 1 votes, seat 4 votes, and seat 6 also votes. And seat 8 decides to vote as well. So that is 6.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm good with this.
Okay. Seat 4 decides to nominate you. And they say, I haven't spoken with Emma, so I don't really know what Emma is claiming. I have some people that I trust as well that I think are probably good, but Emma's not necessarily one of them. So I just kind of want to hear what Emma has to say.
I'm confirmed good. Don't worry about it.
Right. And seat 11, as the hands start to go around, seat 11 says, yep, I back up Emma. Emma is confirmed good. We should not kill Emma. So seat 12 decides to put their hand up on it because they're starting to feel maybe a little sketchy about your plan, I guess. But everybody else just... Everybody else decides to keep their hand down except for seat 9, who, you know, gets that pity high five going. All right. And seat 5 decides to nominate seat 6. Dan says, yeah, I think this is somebody that maybe we should consider. You know, seat 9 got a lot of votes, and I think that might be a little bit sketchy. It was a little too easy to get seat 9 on the block. So I'm thinking that seat 6 is probably not one of these, confirmed players that are going around town. So we should consider that. And seat 6 says... I think we should leave me alive. I have a pretty important role. I think I can help town. So let's not kill me.
Yeah, we could. We should wait to learn whether we can trust seat 6 the traditional way.
All right. So, seat 9, of course, votes on this. Will you be voting? All right. Seat 11 and 12 also don't vote. Seat 1 does vote. Seats 2, 3, 4, well, 4 decides to vote, but everybody else doesn't. So, that is all of the nominations for the day, unless you have one to make.
Nope.
All right. Well, seat 9 is executed and dies. And town goes to sleep.
Yeah. If they were the demon in this scenario, they probably had a Scarlet Woman just to make it not over quickly.
All right. Once again, nothing particularly interesting happens to you in the night. And when you wake up in the morning, seat 3 is dead and seat 8 is dead.
Ooh.
And seat 8 goes, oh, good news, everybody. I was just a mutant. If anything that I claimed to anybody in this game is, don't even think about it. I'm just a mutant.
Interesting. So that's probably not Poe. Oh, I guess it could be Poe with a cannibal saving one of the picks. Could be Kazali Assassin, could be Fangu Assassin, could be Dagobah.
It could be. I will give you a couple of conversations today, and then we can close out the scenario, and you can tell me what you think the evil team is.
Yeah, I should talk to C4, because I haven't talked to them yet.
Okay. Hey, Emma, how's it going?
How's it going?
Well, I'm the empath, and I was getting a 0 until last night, and now I'm having a 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I think C3's fisherman information is good. I think we should just kill into the village idiots. One of them is C2. The other one is C12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting, I say. Yeah. I don't know if I think that works, but it might.
There's also the Chef Zero, who is my other neighbor that I'm confirming. So, I think that really limits where my other demon candidates are. Unfortunately, that does mean that you're one of them.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So, I think it might be you or seat six as the other evil if both of these village idiots are bad.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just the night watchman. Someone got my thing.
Are you just evil with them, Emma?
No, we're sat next to each other.
Okay. I think there might be a drunk in this town. Well, I've not heard of any other outsiders other than this mutant, so I don't know. Maybe the chef is drunk and you're just evil.
Well, I can't disprove that, I suppose. But it's not true.
Thanks, C4. Okay, if you say so.
Let's talk to...
I don't think seat four came out of that conversation feeling good.
No. Which is interesting.
All right.
I don't know if I trust seat four
yet. Who else would you like to talk to this day?
I should talk to C1 the cannibal.
All right.
And then I should try to collect the
information. Hey, Emma, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? You're the cannibal, right?
Yeah, I heard that seat seven was my pixie, but really strange, which is that I didn't wake up after they were executed.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure what's going on with that. It's possible that we did just kill an evil, and maybe seat two is actually the sober village idiot, and the storyteller just wasn't sure what they were bluffing. I don't know.
What'd you do last night?
Last night I was told to pick two players. I didn't learn anything, so I am assuming that that was an innkeeper.
Which two did you pick?
I picked seat five and seat two.
Okay. All right. I'm the night watchman. I set my ping to seat 11.
Okay, yeah. Somebody was telling me about that, but they were also saying they weren't sure that that's actually what happened.
I'm sure it's what happened. I'm confirmed good.
Okay, well, seat 12's a little fishy on it.
I'm sure seat 12 is just being paranoid about drunk chefs. All right, thank you.
Maybe, I don't know. Okay, thanks, Emma. All right. You head back to town. We're not going to go through the entire rest of the day, but we'll just sort of, say that C12 is going to just publicly out the whole plan between 10, 11, and you, 11, and themselves, because they're starting to not buy it. They're not liking that 11 is covering for you, the Night Watchman, when actually 11 is the Night Watchman, right?
I say, what's not to like about it? You know 11's good. 11 and I have a scheme. We're not evil together.
Yeah, but I don't know that you are, Emma.
What's your information, C12?
Well, I chose seat 8 and I got a good... And I chose seat 5, and I got good. I chose you, and I got evil.
Ooh, interesting. Well, that's
and
wrong.
Seat 2 says, all right, well, I guess everybody probably knows it by now, but I'm the other village idiot. I got 7, and I got evil. I chose 6, and I got evil as well. And I chose 4, and got good.
That's plausible. No, it's not.
All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and say, what do you think the evil team is? What do you think the demon is? And who do you think the other evils are?
Who did the innkeeper tell me they protect? The cannibal innkeeper told me they protected.
They said they chose 5 and 2.
All right. 2. I think it's a Poe game.
Okay, and who do you think is likely in the evil team here?
I believe C2's information. I don't believe C12's. I think the evil team is... I kind of think it's... 6, 7, 12 with... 5 drunk and 4 poisoned last night.
Interesting. I do think that's a very viable world.
It's not the right thing, though.
But it's not the one that I built, no.
Think
what I built was my dream scenario of evils doing something that they never do, despite me giving them this bluff all the time. Seed 11 was in fact your Poe. You are correct that it was a Poe game. Seed 11 was bluffing as the Night Watchman.
Uh-huh.
Having given their ping to Seed 12, their Scarlet Woman.
There.
Seed 1 was indeed your cannibal, but the reason they didn't wake to their pixie was because Seed 2, the poisoner, poisoned them that night. Seed 3, of course, your fisherman, with the information town should think carefully about whether it's a village or not, to point to both of the village idiots as being potential evils there. Seed 4 was your empath, and their other neighbor was, of course, the drunk chef.
Yeah.
Seed 6 was the fortune teller, 7, your pixie who saw the cannibal, 8, the mutants, and 9, your poor innkeeper.
And I assume red herring.
And yes, the red herring. One of 9 and 4 had to be.
Yeah. Well, I got C12 was definitely evil.
C12 was definitely evil.
Yeah.
I was trying to maybe make it look like with all of the people talking about confirmed goods, that maybe there was a gag-a-babble in that. I do think that one thing that's difficult to do on Grim Scenarios is make it like... it's a Yagababble game, but also, I'm not going to go through literally every single thing that everybody says publicly, right?
It's something I was wondering about for the format of this, and I think this might be a demon we revisit in DC when we do our live episode.
It might be easier that way.
But it is a tricky demon to cover in this format.
Yeah, but actually, interestingly... In the scenario that I am presenting, the Poe chose to purposefully sink a kill to try to make it look like Yagababble and not Poe. So unfortunately, our cannibal innkeeper didn't really do anything. The Poe was purposefully trying to make people think that it was a Yagababble who maybe didn't say anything on the first day and then said multiple times the next.
Yeah. I saw through that, you Yagapoe.
You did see through that.
I just assumed that the cannibal had probably been responsible for the save.
But I do think that that's reasonable, yeah. But, you know, if you think a cannibal is responsible for the save, that does tell you that seat 9 is good, and therefore if the fortune teller is good, it has to just be the red herring, right?
Yeah.
That 9 or 4 would have to be anyway.
Yeah, hopefully we would have successfully pushed on seat 12 that day. It might have been tough, but...
it might. I think with the fisherman dying at night, I think that makes it a little bit more viable, right?
I think the fisherman dying at night, Seed 4's empath information, like, we probably could have gotten one of the two village idiots that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And then once you get that, that kind of opens up a little bit more for you. And then you have to sort of figure out where the drunk is. Is it the chef? Is it the fortune teller? The cannibals claiming to not have woken after the pixie? Is it a cannibal? That would be no. The pixie wouldn't have been able to see the cannibal if they were actually the drunk, right? Unless the pixie was poisoned. So, Occam's razor, it's probably not the cannibal.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to switch scenarios now.
Yeah, time for Evil Goose.
So you have the Yagababble token.
Yay.
And let's... So you draw the Yagababble token. What are your thoughts when you see it, when you've drawn it? What are you looking for in a phrase?
So, what I'm looking for is hopefully a storyteller who knows me as a player pretty well. That's definitely helpful because different people have different strengths and weaknesses in this game, right? So I am a very strong mechanical player. I know the roles, I know the rules, I know the interactions, and I know the knight orders pretty well without having to reference. I mean, I'm not perfect, nobody is, but those are some things that are my strengths. So a storyteller who knows that might be able to play into that. I'm not the loudest player, but I'm also not the quietest player either. I like to think of myself as very, you know, sort of like, I do a lot of work in private chats and sort of behind the scenes, and I'm not necessarily afraid of nominating, but I'm also not generally like a person who's trying to sort of lead the town most of the games that I have. So again, you know, a storyteller who knows these things about me can help cater a phrase to me that is workable. You do need to speak some as a Yagababble, or you will not get kills. You need to figure out a way to do that that is going to work for you and not stand out as something like really weird and out of character for you. So for some players, that is going to be harder because they might be naturally just quieter people. But when you are that, what you can do is you can work with your minions and try to have them set you up, right? So phrases are sometimes full phrases. They're sometimes partial phrases. They may be just a single word depending on, you know, the game, what that word is, what the memes or metas of your groups are. But you can always use other people, your minions specifically, to try to set you up to get your phrase worked in naturally, to make it a back and forth conversation that can include, and maybe it is a good idea, at least some of the time, to include some bolder plays. It might involve evil on evil violence, right? It might involve you nominating a minion or a minion nominating you in order to make an accusation or give a defense that directly speaks to and uses your phrase. So that's kind of what I'm thinking as a Yagababble. My thoughts are always, how can I work this in? How many times a day do I want to do this? Like, what other demons or minions are on a script? Is there death ambiguity? If there's not, if all of the other demons are single kill demons, maybe I want to act a little more reserved and keep the demon type a little bit more ambiguous. If there's a bunch of other night death characters, then I can kind of go nuts with it, right? So analyzing the script is, you don't have to go super deep into it. Just do like a real quick sort of once over. Are there demons that can multi-kill? Are there minions that can cause kills? Are there good abilities that can cause extra night deaths as well? And, you know, decide pretty quickly off of a glance, sort of like, is it viable for me to say this more than once? If so, how many times maximum? And, you know, try to set yourself up for those things.
Okay. Well, on day one, you learn your minions are in seat 10 and 11.
Seat 10 and 11. All right.
You learn your buffs are Tinker, Gossip, and Savant.
Okay. I'm just finding these because I'm sure everybody remembers. Last time when I completely forgot what the bluffs were. But so did Milk, so, you know.
It's very hard. And I want to be frank, I am not good at coming up with Yagababble phrases yet.
That's fair. It's a new demon. I think that a lot of people are not going to have quite found their groove yet.
Yeah. So I was thinking that the Yaga Babel phrase with these buffs could maybe be, I don't think that works. But as a storyteller, I would, especially online, because it's something we can do online, is when I was giving the Yaga Babel phrase to the Yaga Babel, I would say, hey, do you think this works for you?
I really love that, and I personally would also be more than happy to incorporate that. It's very easy online when, of course, you might be able to more verbally discuss, or if you're using the knight cards, there's like the whole, you know, custom note thing that people can use. In person, you already have either paper or a phone out to give the Yaga Babel phrase, and so I would be perfectly fine to, like, include that question in with the Yaga Babel phrase, like, does this work for you? And maybe sort of do some minor workshopping. You know, I don't think that you need to, like, completely take a Yaga Babel's suggestions to you. They should be accepting of your phrase, but maybe some sort of, like, minor adjustments here or there to some words specifically. Like, okay, if you give me a Yaga Babel phrase that has the word role in it, but I never say the word role, I only ever say the word character when I'm talking about the game, or vice versa, right? Maybe I would write back, hey, can we change this word from role to character, right? So I think minor adjustments are great. I'm all for that. But I have now forgotten what the Yaga Babel phrase is because I didn't write it down. What was it?
I don't think that works.
Great. I'm going to save that as a custom note for myself. I think for me personally, that would probably be my most difficult thing in an in-person game, is that I have some memory issues. It's why I take notes. I could very well forget the Yaga Babel phrase, and I might have to check with the storyteller, which actually makes Savant a perfect bluff for that, because I have an excuse to go to the storyteller every single day and just ask what my phrase is again in case I forgot.
All right. So, obviously you have some bluffs here that can help you cover for extra Yaga Babel kills, the Gossip and the Tinker in particular.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
With the Tinker, you can also, you know, sacrifice the minion to a day Tinker death if you wanted to.
Yeah, if your storyteller is inclined, you can even potentially ask them and say, hey, I'm going to say a phrase. This person is bluffing Tinker. Can you just day kill them? Sure.
So there you have it. And you wake up and, well, first of all, what bluff do you think you're likely to take as the Yaga Babel here?
So, I'm actually personally inclined towards Tinker. I think Tinker is one of, if not the funniest roles in Clock Tower. I really enjoy bluffing as outsiders. I think that, Gossip is one that might get read too strongly as meta for the demon in the same way that it can be for a Shab, right? Of like, oh, you're claiming a role that causes extra deaths, and we have a demon that causes extra deaths. Maybe we kill you. And I'm just not personally inclined towards Savant. Nothing against the character. I've just not really had a great time playing it. My gut reaction is, oh, Tinker. Hilarious. Love it.
All right.
Strategically speaking, Savant might actually be better.
It depends on your group and your meta. Some groups get suspicious of recurring infernal roles that don't do the proper thing and die. In which case,
absolutely,
as a
right.
demon, you probably don't want to bluff in recurring infernal roles. But in other groups, they really just want to let those recurring infernal roles get as much information as possible. And then as a demon, you do want to bluff them.
For sure. So possibly what I would do before I decide is I would try to talk to my minions on day one, and I would see if they have any inclination towards Gossip or Savant, and hope that they do, maybe, so that I have a very easy route of taking Tinker.
Delightful. All right. So we're talking about day one. It's day one. You can talk to people.
Cool. Well, let's go talk to seat three.
Okay. Seat three happily tells you they're the fortune teller. They go, "Hi, I'm the fortune teller."
Nice. I'm going to go ahead and just mark you as farmer for now, though.
There you go. I'm not the farmer. Please don't mark me as the farmer. I checked seat 7 and seat 12 and got a yes.
7 and 12. Okay. Well, if you promise that you're not actually the farmer and you're really the fortune teller, I will go ahead with this for now. And if either of them nominate, I will vote on them. I'm just the tinker.
Oh, great. Okay. I hope you a merry night, Death.
Me too. I kind of hope that I die during the day because it's a yagababble because I think that's hilarious.
See, it goes perfect.
All right. Well, thank you, seat three.
All right. You can talk to anyone else.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk to one of the minions at least. So they're sat next to each other, which does make it convenient on this app that they can just pass a whisper back and forth. In person, they could do that when they get back to town, anytime they're sat next to each other. So let's go ahead and talk to seat 10.
Seat 10 goes, "Hey, how's it going? Do you have bluffs for me? Would like bluff?"
Yeah, I'm taking Tinker, so Gossip and Savant are free. My Yagababble phrase is, "I don't think that works," so it would be great if you and 11 could maybe try to, like, push some information rules out there so that I can maybe get set up for the phrase.
They go, yeah, I'm the Scroll Woman. I think I could take Savant. Seat 11 is the assassin. I'll let them know that Gossip is available to cover their assassinations.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay, so seat 3 is claiming to be a fortune teller with a yes on seat 7 and 12.
There you go. Okay. Seat 5 told me they were a village idiot who learned that seat 9 was good.
Okay, seat 9, good. Yeah, so that's correct information. So our village idiot in 5 is probably just a sober one.
Okay.
All right, cool. Well, good luck. I am happy to hear I have a scarlet one.
It enables the tinker bluff so well.
It really kind of does, and I'm actually really tempted to just, like, go up to you as a storyteller and be like, "Hey, I know I have a Scarlet Woman and I'm bluffing Tinker, so, like, if you feel like it, you can kill me during the day, it's fine."
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? I am personally just very, very entranced by, like, things where the demon dies during the day and you have a Scarlet Woman to catch it that aren't, you know, just execution right. I love, like, psychopaths on scripts and so you know what, in fact I do. I pull you aside as the storyteller and I let you know, like, hey, if you feel like doing this, like, while my Scarlet Woman is alive, as you know, unless they're, like, super sussed, like, go for it. I'm happy for this to happen.
All right.
Okay. Do I get one more conversation today?
Yeah, let's say one more conversation.
Okay. Let's go ahead and talk with seat 1.
All right. Seat 1 goes, "Hey, Navian. I hope I can trust you. The storyteller told me I could."
The storyteller told you,
well, I'm
grandmother?
The village idiot, and I picked you and learned that you were good.
Oh, right. Okay. Nice. Well, I am just a humble outsider.
Sorry?
I am just a humble outsider.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That helps us with outsider count, at least. Yeah. So haven't
yeah, found have the, you heard of any others?
I haven't found any other village idiots yet. Hopefully I'm the only one and I can just trust you.
Oh, I meant other outsiders.
Oh, no, I have not.
Okay. I am now just looking at the script and realizing there's a fangu on it, and maybe I shouldn't be outing that I'm an outsider, but it's too late now.
Hey, it happens to all of us sometimes.
Yeah, it sure does. I'm just the tinker, so if the fangu finds out and jumps to me, maybe they won't, because a tinker who lives too long is just sus as fuck, right? So, I don't know, maybe they just won't because I'm a tinker, but oh well.
They go, great, all right.
I have heard of another village idiot in seat 5, though.
They go, I'll go talk to them and maybe we can start correlating our information.
Yeah, good luck. So, yeah, what I was hoping to do there was engender some good social trust by pretending to be, you know, sort of like an outsider who's like, oh, oops, I added his outsider on a Fangu script, silly me. And then pointing them towards the other village idiot, who I know is the sober one. If seat 1 is actually a village idiot, they would have to be the drunk one.
Yeah.
So if I look good out of that by trying to connect them, then perfect.
Yeah, you. It certainly is easier to solve the village idiot information when you're evil and one of them tells you that you're good.
yeah, definitely.
All right.
Okay. More conversations, or is this
let's have one more conversation.
Okay. So I would have been told by seat 3 that 7 and 12 got a yes. So I'm going to do some of seat 3's work. Again, this is a bit of a social play. Trying to look socially good by sort of trying to get my feelers out on seat 7 and 12. It's also useful for me to know which of these two I think might be the red herring based on their claims. So let's go ahead and talk with seat 7.
Hi, you talk to seat 7. Seat 7 goes, hey, Nathan, how's it going?
It's pretty good. How are you?
Not bad. The village idiot. I picked seat 11 last night and learned they were good.
Well, that is 3 village idiots that I have heard of.
They go, yeah, I found one in seat 5 and one in seat 4.
Oh, well, that's 4 village idiots that I've heard of.
Seat 7 goes, huh, well, that's too many. Maybe one of us is a pixie.
Sure is.
but not me.
You know, I would have potentially thought that maybe, but I do feel like 3 village idiots in play plus a pixie village idiot is maybe a little too much, and I'm starting to think maybe there's an evil here.
Seat 7 goes, oh, well, it's not me. I'm the good one.
Sure. I mean, I can't tell you apart right now, so, we'll go with that. I mean, I've just outed it to other players, so there's no point in me hiding it here either. I'm just an outsider. I was claiming that before I realized it was a Fangu script, so, if you're a Fangu, or if you're evil and you have a Fangu, you know, feel free to jump to me, but I am a tinker, it might be sus. But I do love being evil, so, like, please jump to me, it's fine. But the other village idiot that I heard of was in seat 1.
They go, oh, well, I'll go talk to seat 1 when I have a chance then and try to figure out what's going on with too many idiots.
Yes, there are too many idiots, indeed. Okay, bye. Oh, so that's a really fun conversation. They've heard of another village idiot, which means that there is potentially a pixie, or there's just a player who's good but bluffing as a village idiot for some reason. It could be a mutant as well, so I'm not overly concerned about it. I do know that between seat 1 and seat 7, like, there's a village idiot who's drunk because both of them are claiming to have picked an evil and seen good. So one of them is likely an actual village idiot who is drunk. One of them is likely either a pixie or a mutant, or possibly a village idiot who is the drunk. That's also possible if one of the others is, you know, one of the other things. But I do know that between 1 and 7, it's there. It does sound quite likely that seat 12 is the red herring, though.
Okay.
So I would put the red herring token on there for now. It's not impossible that it's seat 7, but seat 7 is giving out bad information, which makes it less likely. Again, they could just be the pixie. A pixie is not impossible to be a red herring, but it is somewhat less likely.
Well, when you get back down, seat 11 gossips the following statement. Well, seat 11 says the following. Something weird is going on here, and I'm not sure if any of it works, but I've found 4 village idiots and 2 fortune tellers so far. And
wow.
That seems wrong to me, so I'm going to gossip that we have exactly 2 village idiots in play.
I've heard of these 4 village idiots. I've only heard of 1 fortune teller, but I agree. I don't think that works either. Something weird is definitely going on, and I think that one of these village idiots is also in one of the fortune tellers who got a yes. So I think we should be killing into these things for sure.
Seat 9 says, well, weirdly, I've also talked to 2 fortune tellers who picked the same 2 players and got different information.
So both fortune tellers are claiming to have picked the same players and they got different information.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that works. there's a pixie and a mutant on the script, but they can only account for so much. We have definitely way too many of all of these things. So with that, I'm actually going to nominate seat 7.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, well, the fortune teller that I heard of got a yes on this player. I don't know which of these fortune tellers is good, but there's 4 village idiots, which is too many. And I think I trust the fortune teller that I heard of.
Seat 7 goes, well, there is a surplus of village idiots, from what I hear. Oh, screw it, I'm the mutant.
I mean, I would try to not laugh in real life, but I might actually.
Alright, so you still voted on seat 7, this mutant cliff?
Yeah, I am gonna say, you know, that makes a lot of sense, but also now you're just a ticking time bomb, so we might as well just vote on it.
Alright, I'm gonna say seat 9 votes, seat 10 votes, seat 12 votes, seat 1 vote, seat 3 votes, and you vote, and that's 6. Alright. We're just going to fast through the nomination and execution phase. It doesn't really matter. Seat 7 is going to get executed and dies. So I think you said your phrase twice, or you said something very close to your phrase twice.
I did. I definitely said, I don't think that works, just as it is once. And then I think what happened was I tried to say it, but my personal, like, verbal tics, like, worked its way in there, and I ended up saying, I definitely don't think that works. I tried to sort of say it, Like, I stumbled on my words trying to not make that come out, but it came out anyway. And that's one of those situations where it sort of leaves it as the storyteller discretion of whether that counts or not as me saying the phrase. And I would be okay if a storyteller decided, you put a definitely in there and that completely changes the phrase. But I do think that it was also fair of a storyteller to say, listen, words like definitely, really, like, those kinds of things, yeah. You know, they're things that are verbal speech patterns that work their way into how people talk. And so in writing, they're what's known as weasel words. They're words that sort of are somewhat meaningless, but they're just a way that we form our speech habits, and they can be very difficult to not work their way into your writing or how you're actually talking. So if you have a storyteller who's on the more lenient side, they might have given me that second kill because it's pretty close. The word definitely in there does not meaningfully change the phrase in any way. If you have a stricter storyteller, they might not, and that's just how it is. You just have to pay a lot of attention and try to make sure that you're not getting those accidental extra words in there.
Yeah, and
but I did definitely try for it twice.
You don't, I think, want to sort of punish your Yagababbles for being human, because then they're going to become start becoming incredibly self-conscious about the words they say, which is going to make it more obvious that they're saying a set phrase. So, like, I'm inclined to forgive these sort of, like, things that humans just naturally insert into their sentences. The ums, the ahs, the definitelys, the likes. Like, the things like that, that just sort of our brains want to throw in there for whatever reason. That goes into human psychology and probably evolution in ways that I don't have the patience or time to study and learn about.
I think it's important as a storyteller, too, to maybe try to remember that, like, the player who is the Yagababble is going to be already kind of self-conscious about their phrase. It's obvious to the Yagababble that they are saying their phrase and that they are evil, and therefore they feel sort of naturally more vulnerable, and like it's going to be obvious to everybody else as well. It is, of course, not, but it's going to feel that way to that player, whether they logically know that that's not the case or, you know, it's still going to have an impact on them and how they might end up saying their phrase a little bit. So I too would lean towards some of that, you know, leniency and kindness and say, you know, it was an attempt at the phrase. I think it was good enough to have counted. I would give that to a player.
If it's close enough so that other players could plausibly track that that was the Yagababble vase, if they were listening carefully enough and thinking about it, I think it's fine. If it's like,
yeah, I agree,
I said the 5 words in the phrase, but I put 32 words between words 3 and 4 and another 10 between 4 and 5. They didn't say their phrase.
Right, yeah. That's not how the phrase works.
In any case, we've been going for about half an hour, so I'm just curious. As the Yagababble who, we'll say, said your phrase 2 times, who would you want to see dead based on what you've gathered so far?
So I don't have Seat 12's claim, which means I don't know how good Seat 3's fortune teller information is. I now know that Seat 7 is a mutant, which means that Seats 4 and 5 are likely the sober village idiots, while Seat 1 is just a drunk village idiot. Seat 3 is either a fortune teller or a pixie, and that leaves a fortune teller or a pixie between Seats 2, 8, 9, and 12. Seat 12 is currently in a fortune teller, yes, so I would not personally want Seat 12 to die. I would maybe want to kill off one of those village idiots. Honestly, I wouldn't mind the drunk village idiot getting killed, just because they are clearing me, and them being dead first might make them seem more sober as a result. And then I would probably want the other one to go into one of the players that I don't know a whole lot about, who's not in that fortune teller, yes, so not Seat 12.
Okay. Wildly, I was thinking.
But I wouldn't necessarily mind which ones it goes to.
Yeah. Wildly, I was thinking of killing Seat 9, who you didn't talk to, and Seat 1, the village that you did talk to.
Perfect. That sounds exactly like who I would want dead.
We're going to do one more thing to end out this scenario, because I think it's an interesting thing to think about, is I'm going to tell you that night you're woken up and told Hatter has died.
Ooh, fun.
So, given the situation, what are your sort of thoughts of whether you want to stay a Yagababo or switch into one of the directed kill demons?
Okay, so I know that this game did not start as a Fangu, and I don't have on this script any minions that can change the outsider counts. And an outsider just got themselves executed and died. Therefore, I'm not necessarily inclined to pick a Fangu. A Fangu is a very strong demon. There is still an outsider out there that I could potentially jump to. But the mutant being executed on day one kind of makes me slightly less incentivized to.
And if a Hatter just died, there's probably...
Oh, that's right. A Hatter just died, obviously, because I'm getting a Hatter pick. So, picking a Fangu is functionally useless for the team here. All that would do is it would mean that we just get one kill a night, guaranteed. I don't really want to pick a Kazali because I already have my minions, so choosing a Kazali in the mid-game does absolutely nothing for me, again, except make it that I get one kill a night and that's it. The only demon that I personally would be considering changing into here would be a Poe. And it's fine. I wouldn't say that it's wrong or bad of anybody here in this situation that I'm in to pick a Poe. It's totally just personal choice. I'm personally very driven towards being things that I haven't been before. And I have been a Poe. So personally, I would choose to stay with the Yagababel. I think it's fun. I think it's funny. I think it's interesting to sort of figure out how to work your phrase in. I think it's fun to see people get paranoid about the phrase, but also to sort of see them being paranoid about phrases that aren't yours as well as yours. I like the creativity of it. So I would personally choose to stay as the Yagababel.
That's what I figured. Like, then for the clear reasons of the mutant's dead and the Hatter's dead, Fangu has no power in this game, nor does Kazali.
Right.
Poe and Yakubab will do very similar things. They both accelerate the game, and a lot of it's just going to be a playstyle choice.
Absolutely.
Like, if the Yagababu is sort of uncomfortable for you, there's nothing wrong with switching to the Poe. If you care as more about the control of your kills, nothing wrong with switching to the Poe, but they're both out there as options.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that, you know, for players who are a little bit quieter, players who aren't as comfortable sort of, you know, talking in town square or pushing worlds or trying to solve the game and talk with players out loud about it, then yeah, maybe switching to the Poe is a fantastic idea for you. I think it's also worth keeping in mind here that, like, I chose to bluff as a tinker, and two outsiders are now dead, which makes me prime target of the town just being like, well, we're just going to execute you because if it is a Fangu game, then that gets rid of the last place for the Fangu to jump to. So there's a strong chance that my Scarlet Woman's going to have to take over for me here pretty quick.
Hopefully your Scarlet Woman doesn't take this as an opportunity to never worry about being the demon.
We can only hope that with the 7 claiming mutants and a Hatter dying at night, we can only hope that the Scarlet Woman is going to make the same realization that I did not, which is that both outsiders are now dead and my demon is claiming Tinker. I should maybe stay as a Scarlet Woman, or one of us at least, one of seats 10 and 11, should stay as a Scarlet Woman, because town is going to get real sus on that real quick.
Yeah, and in a person where you're supposedly supposed to wake the evil team together for Hatter choices, if you're the demon and you've calculated this, it might be a time to glare at your Scarlet Woman and shake your head, no, don't you change.
Yes. Now, there are ways around, of course, the situation of there being the three outsider claims. You could always just claim, like, as long as Seat 7 wasn't executed to the mutant break and they were just executed like normal because we did put them on the block and the storyteller chose not to execute that to the mutant ability since they were already on the block, you can always push a world of, well, Seat 7 was just an evil who decided to go with a village idiot bluff because they thought that it would be easy, but actually there were three in play, so they had to do a pivot, and they're just evil. Seat 9 and I are the only outsiders in this game. Seat 7 is just lying. So, like, I would definitely be trying to maybe push that world right. It would probably make whatever fortune teller is claiming to have chosen them and gotten a yes to potentially, like, look better. Because there's every world that that was a demon who decided to go off bluff or, you know, well, I have mutant as a bluff, so let's just claim a random thing. And if it's in play, then I can pivot to mutant. It's fine because they have a Scarlet Woman. Or it was just an unlucky minion who got stuck in a fortune teller ping.
Yep.
So I would certainly fight it out. You know, I have a Scarlet Woman. I'm not going to, like, wave a white flag and just say, yeah, okay, execute me right away. I'm going to try to stay alive, but I will try to force Town to execute me into that Scarlet Woman.
Yeah. And I will say Seat 7 definitely was not executed to a mutant max break here. That definitely would not.
Yeah, I would certainly not be inclined. If a mutant gets put on the block, I would certainly not be inclined to execute them to their mutant madness, as long as they're staying on the block, right?
Yeah, as long as they stay on the block, they're not going to be confirmed as the mutant. There's going to have to be ambiguity.
But I do have a village idiot who died first in the night who's confirming me as good, and that looks pretty good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a multi-kill, at this point in the game, like, that can't have been a Fangu jump because two players can't die that way. It can't have been a Poe because the Poe hasn't had a chance to charge. Can't be a Kazali because it's only one death by a Kazali. So, like, there's a world where it's either a gossip kill or it's a Yaga babble, right?
Or an assassin stabbing.
Or an assassin stab. But, like, I guess it could be an assassin and a Fangu jump to me. That would be the only world that exists, is like Seat 1 was a Fangu who jumped to me and the other kill was the assassin. So there is a world where I got Fangu jumped to if there were three outsiders. But I would not be pointing that out. I would defend against it, but I wouldn't point it out.
All right. Well, I hope that was information for all you about thinking about how to go through the Yaga Babel decision making and some decision points at the Yaga Babel. We've been going for a very long time, so we're about to stop.
It is a demon that there is a lot to talk about, which makes sense why it's got this big open mouth.
Anyway, thank you, Nadine, for joining us for these two episodes. You joined us, and it was really a pleasure to have a different voice here and no milk.
That's right. Any glass of milk tries to walk in here, I'm kicking that over too.
Yep. Never here. we're gonna head out now. But as always, honk.
Honk.
May your scenarios stay grim.
Bye.